Okay, today's topic is the eternal Jew. The Jews last forever. This is a major theme of Hanukkah. The Jews last forever. Everyone did various, we discussed that Yaakov and Esav was the Malach was the Sar of Esav. He was trying to kill Yaakov. In the end, Yaakov survived until the morning. And what does the Sefer HaChinuch say? The Sefer HaChinuch says that the Malach injured Yaakov, but Yaakov survived until the morning. So too, sometimes we will be injured as a nation, hurt, but we will always survive until the Mashiach comes. That is what the Chinuch says. Which mitzvah does he say that about? The mitzvah of Gid HaNasha. That's this over here, right? The Gid HaNasha, that part of the body of the animal. You can't eat the Gid HaNasha. The Sefer HaChinuch gives the reasons for all the mitzvahs. Yeah? Yes? You know Sefer HaChinuch? Yes. Gives reasons for all the mitzvahs. So what's the reason for Gid HaNasha? That's where the Malach injured Yaakov, but he survived till the morning. Am Yisrael should remain assured, this is the Chinuch, that they will not perish, and their descendants and name will endure forever, and the Redeemer will come and deliver them from their oppressor's hand. By remembering this matter, Am Yisrael will stand firm in their faith and righteousness forever. Am Yisrael will always survive. Oh, good. So this is the struggle of Yaakov against the Malach. Now, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. There's a very deep idea. There's some deep ideas here. There are connections between Yaakov and Hanukkah. Yaakov and Hanukkah. There are connections between Yaakov and Hanukkah. First of all, we know, you all read the Sukkot book already, Be'iyun, that the three regalim correspond to the Avos. Avram corresponds to Pesach, which makes sense. Where does Avram correspond to Pesach? Because when the Malachim came, what was it? It was Pesach. Lushi Vasiu Gos, make matzahs. It was Pesach. Avram started the Emunah in Hashem. Pesach is about Emunah in Hashem. Yitzchak corresponds to Shavuos, because the shofar that Hashem blew at Matan Torah is the shofar from the aisle that Avram offered instead of Yitzchak. And Yaakov corresponds to Sukkos. How do you know? Because what does the Torah say? It says Yaakov built Sukkos. So it's pretty good. Yaakov corresponds to Sukkos. And we also know from the Hanukkah book that we'll discuss on Sunday night, there are many connections between Sukkos and Hanukkah. So it fits very well that we're going to find links of Yaakov to Hanukkah, because of all the Avos, Yaakov links up to Sukkos the most, and we have many connections between Sukkos and Hanukkah, so therefore by the transitive property of connections, Yaakov links up to Hanukkah. You got it? Oh. So here we go. So first of all, Yaakov went to sleep in Vayetzah, and it said he took the Evan that he slept on, he made it into a Mizbeach, and he poured oil on it. So Chazal say that oil was miraculous oil. The Medrash, I have it here. The Medrash Rabbah says, Medrash Rabbah Samach Tes, that it was miraculous oil. And there's an old Sefer called the Sefer Yam HaTalmud. It's a very old, early Achron. And he says that the Pach Shemen, which the Chashmonaim found and they used to light the menorah, was the Pach Shemen originally, which Yaakov used to pour on the Evan that he slept on to make it into a mizbeach. Afterwards, you put it in the container, and that's what he says.
Can you not reuse the oil that was already used?
No. He poured it, and then the leftovers that he hadn't used was still there. That's what he says. That's incredible. That's the Yam HaTalmud. Okay. Then, excuse me. When you're an early Achron, you're your own source. That we'll see in a second. I think he's assuming that if they're both miraculous oils, he puts them together. Oh, 1 second. Then there's a sefer called the Megala Amukos. Megala Amukos is an early Mekubal. And he says as follows. Yam HaTalmud is a phrase in the Shas. Megala Amukos is one of the things. What? Yeah, these are words used found in Tanakh or the Sfarim. If we knew the Svarim well enough, then we wouldn't be surprised by the names. Right. That's how it works. Okay.
That's why you're not surprised.
Okay. Yaakov was left alone. Why was Yaakov alone? What did Yaakov go back for? Small. What's the Hebrew word? Pachim ketanim. And what did the Chashmonaim find? A pach shemen. So here he says it's the same word. So the Megala Muko says, he says that the pach shemen they found may have been these pachim ketanim.
And they both could have been using jars.
These pachim ketanim, which Yaakov went back for. It says by Yivaser Yaakov Livado. Yeah, what does that mean? What does it mean by Yivaser Yaakov Livado? What does the word mean? Yaakov was left what? What is Livado? Self. By Yivaser Yaakov Livado. By himself. But Livado can also be read Liv. He was left with Vado. His bod. What is a bod? A bod is an oil press. It's one of the words for oil press. So it's a remez. It's a remez to the oil. This is Yaakov and Chanukah. And if you take out the word bod from this word, the oil press, what are you left with? Lamed Vav, 36. What is 36? The 36 candles of? The 36 candles of Chanukah. Well, so we see there's a connection between Yaakov and Chanukah, and Yaakov and the Pachim Ketanim, and Yaakov and the oil. So what is the connection? So the connection is this idea, the eternal survival of the Jewish people, that we're going to survive forever. That Yaakov fought the Malach. Take one and pass it around. Yaakov fought the Malach. We got that. Yaakov fought the Malach. Here, guys, take one and pass it around. Who was the Malach? Rashi says the Malach was the Tsar of Esav. And he was trying to kill Yaakov. We discussed last week, this symbolizes the eternal struggle that the non-Jewish world eventually finds different ways to try to uproot the Jewish people. And in the end, we always survive, like the Chinuch says. And that's what happened on Chanukah. The Yevanim tried to wipe us out primarily spiritually. The Yevanim wanted to uproot the spiritual singularity of the Jewish people. And that was the attack. And we survived in the end. How do we survive? By sticking with Hashem and sticking with Chazal. So this is the eternal summer. So this is a famous essay. You have to know this essay. Certain things in life you have to know. Who wrote this essay? Mark Twain. This is Mark Twain. Now there's a book out there. You should go to Aish and buy this. I assume they still sell it. There's a book called Discovery. You know Aish has their Discovery program. You know what that is? We go there and they give you all the proofs for Hashem, proofs for the Torah. You're holding in that. It's called Discovery. There's a book called Discovery, where Aish published those six or seven lectures, all the sources. It's a great book for yourself. It's a great book to have around the house. It's called Discovery. Oh, so this is in Discovery. This is in their book. If the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of. Psst. No, away. He is as prominent on the planet. No, we're being recorded here. There was a guy in Shir who was actually learning another piece of Gemara during the Shir, and it bothered me, so I told him to put the Gemara away. Okay, back here. He is as prominent, it was Hakimi. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people, and his commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. He's a good writer. He has made a marvelous fight in this world in all the ages, and has done it with his hands tied behind him. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Guys, it's a big deal. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burnt out, and they sit in twilight now or have vanished. All the powerful empires, they're gone. We're still here. nobody lives like the Romans did back then. There are certain things kept over the way that some architecture, this, where do you find Roman culture? You have to go to a college class, you go to a museum. But we lived the way we lived 2,000 years ago. The Jew fought them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slurring of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? He didn't know the answer. The secret is, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have the Torah, we have our spiritual singularity. He didn't know the answer. It was a good question. He didn't know the answer. This is Chanukah. Chanukah is about maintaining our uniqueness. Levado, we're alone as a nation. And our job is not to copy the non-Jewish approach things. Our job is to preserve what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be a Yid. And that is the essence of Chanukah. And the Greeks didn't want to kill us. The Greeks wanted to wipe out our spiritual sing. In the end, there was a war. Why was there a war? Because we fought back. We wanted to fight for religious freedom, to serve God. And then there was a war. But the essence was about Ruchnius. So this is what Chanukah is about. It's about surviving forever as Torah Jews. You got it? Okay, now. How do we do that? We do that by learning Torah. Not just learning Torah Shebechsav, but learning Torah She Be'alpeh. You learn Gemara, you have your Sfarim, you have a Rebbe, you have the Rishonim, the Achronim, part of the Masorah. The Masorah is alive, and when you learn and connect with Gemara, and connect with Torah Shebe'alpeh, that keeps us alive in the Masorah. Oh. So now we're going to have a shir. I normally give the shir in Vayichli. I want to give it now, my favorite shir. And part of the shir is listening to a tape of Rav Soloveitchik speak. The Rav Zatzal will listen to the recording. That I'm one of the major YU Torah listeners, and once in a while I put things up. Mostly I put up on YU Torah other people. Because if I hear a good shir, let's say Rav Shechter Shlita gives a shir for an hour and a half, who listens to a long hour and a half shir? Yeah, good. Except for me. No, people don't do these things. But let's say in the middle, he has a great 10-minute piece that I think is really exciting. So what do? I take the hour and a half piece, I splice out the 10 minutes, I re-upload those 10 minutes with a nice title, and people download it. I do that a lot. And not bad. Not bad. Not bad means good. I mean, I hope Hashem thinks that it was Hashem as well. Okay. Anyway, now. So the Rav gave this speech. I uploaded this speech, the 10-minute speech to YU Torah, and as of this morning, there were downloads of this speech on YU Torah.
This
night. Because I uploaded this in 2010, 6 years ago. Okay. Anyway, so listen. So we're going to hear that shir, but I want to give you the context of the shir. It's powerful, it's beautiful, and it's a game changer for life, and this is what life is all about. And if a guy said, hey Rebbe, if there's one word to describe your whole year in Shir, the word is Masorah. The answer is correct. That's the one word, and everything connects to that. Everything connects to being in the Masorah, and that means being solid yourself, means finding the right wife, all that stuff. Okay. The system works good. Here we go. Now, the Rav was speaking at a Pidyon HaBen. We'll get to that later. A Pidyon HaBen. 1974, he was 71 years old. He was already an old man. And he spoke about Parshas Vayechi. And he said the following idea. This is somewhat published in Reflections of the Rav, Volume 2, Essay Number 1. But, and I read it. I remember when I read it. I read it in my friend's house. I was there for Shabbos. First time I read it, crying. Ah. Anyway, but then, but when you hear the speech itself, it's more powerful. Here's the background of what the Rav said. The Rav started with two questions. Question number one. Yaakov Avinu is called an old man. If you look at the psukim in Parashas Vayechi, he's called Hazaken. Also in the Gemara, he's often called Azaken. Why is that a question? Because Yaakov wasn't that old. He didn't live as long as Avraham. He didn't live as long as Yitzchak. So it's striking that Yaakov is called Zaken several times in the Torah and in the Medrash, in Parshas Vayechi. That is striking. That's number one. Question number two, why are we called Bnei Yisrael, Beis Yaakov? That's our name. We're called the sons of Yaakov, the house of Jacob, the sons of Israel. Why aren't we called Bnei Avram? Why aren't we called Bnei Yitzchak, Beis Yitzchak? So there's an obvious answer. What's the obvious answer? What? Right. The obvious answer is the other of those, some of their kids weren't Jewish. Avram had Yishmael, Yitzchak had Esav. And Yaakov had only, the Shvatim. That's a simple answer. That's correct. But sometimes, you hear an idea, there's a simple answer, but sometimes there's also a deeper answer to something, and the deeper answer reflects. So the Rav wanted to give another deep, very deep answer to that question. Why are we called Bnei Yisrael and Beis Yaakov as opposed to Avram and Yitzchak? Okay. So the Rav said as follows, and this is beautiful, and you have to remember this for yourselves, for your families. Okay. Mitzvah by me, as we'll see. There's one way that Yaakov was completely different than Avram and Yitzchak. Avram and Yitzchak each was zocha to teach Torah to the next generation, to their sons. But Yaakov was the first of the avos, the only of the avos, to have a long, extended, deep, powerful connection through Torah with his grandchildren, with Menashe and Ephraim. He became their primary Rebbe. Avraham did learn with Yaakov and Esav till they were 13 or 15. That's true. Then Avraham was nifter. Avraham was not the main Rebbe of Yaakov. Yaakov's main Rebbe was Yitzchak, his Baal Masora, then Shein Ve'Ever. That's another discussion. But Yaakov became the primary Rebbe of Menashe and Ephraim. He became their Baal Masora. So Yaakov Avinu experienced the Masorah fully, not only for one generation, but for two. Yaakov Avinu experienced the Masorah fully, not only for one generation. Not only for one generation, but for two. This made him different. He became their primary Rebbe. For 17 years, he taught them Torah. Yaakov's connection with Menashe and Ephraim was so strong that Yaakov says something startling. It's strange. The word strange can mean striking, or strange can mean weird. Rabbi Soloveitchik would use the word strange all the time. It didn't mean weird, it meant striking. So it's strange. What does Yaakov say about Menashe and Ephraim? Strange. What does he say about them? Correct. Keruven v'shimon yihyuli. He makes them into Shvatim. He makes them into his kids. It's incredible. He makes them into his kids. The Gemara says in some halachas, Bnei banim harehem kebanim. Grandkids are like kids, the Gemara says. And the source in the Gemara for this is, one of the sources is, in the Chazal, is what Yaakov said. It's amazing. One second. Let me go. Yaakov became the primary Rebbe of Menashe and Ephraim. So therefore, all of the avos symbolize Masorah. Which of the avos symbolizes the Masorah the most? Yaakov. Well, can we give me the same one? And this answers the two questions. Then I'll stop for questions. This answers the two questions. Yaakov Avinu was called an old man. Why? Because the Medrash wants to emphasize that even as an old man, he was in the Masorah. Sometimes, when you're a grandfather, it's hard to connect. You can't use the funny. You have this old phone, or you don't have a phone at all. You can't use the fancy stuff. You don't know what WhatsApp is. You still actually write letters. Go to a museum. You'll see envelopes in a museum. Envelopes and people write letters and whatever. And it's hard. There's a generation gap. But sometimes it's hard to connect. You have people that are little, young kids, your grandkids, to connect to them and understand them a little bit and try to learn with them and talk. It's very hard. So Yaakov Avinu successfully bridged the generation gap perfectly, to become the main Baal Masorah of his grandchildren. So that's why the Medrash calls him Hazakim, to emphasize, this is a fabulously beautiful pshat, that even as a Zakim, he was involved in teaching his grandkids, he was successful in transmitting the Masorah. That's why he's called a Zakim. And the Rav said, that's why we're called Bnei Yisrael Beis Yaakov, because the essence of Yahadus is the Masorah, and therefore we took the name of one of the Avos who most symbolizes the Masorah. All of us have one, have a very simple job. I didn't say it's an easy job, but it's a simple job. The simple job is we receive from our parents and teachers the Masorah of what it means to be a Jew. Going back to Maimon Har Sinai, we absorb it, we learn it, we internalize it, and then we pass it on to the next generation. That is what it means to be Jewish. You receive everything, you absorb, you internalize, and then you pass it on. You have to have the right wife to do that. We discussed already. But that's the Shalom Bayis connection. And so the fact that we're called Bnei Yisrael means we're called Bnei HaMasorah. That's what it means. Beautiful pshat. We want the concept of Masorah to be in our name. So since Yaakov surpassed Abraham and Yitzchak in this area, this might be a deeper pshat why Yaakov's name is taken as our name. That's what the Rav said. Oh, that's the first half. That's the introduction. And now we'll get to the here, take one and pass it around. Now we'll get to the second half. You're going to pass around. Yes, A for patience. Yeah, questions. Yes. So let me. Oh, here we go. Yeah, your children, Ravina Roshiva Shlita, often talks about that he davens for success in Chinuch. He davens for his Talmid. And one of my kids was learning with someone, and then they stopped. And they stopped extra beyond school, and this Rav told me later, you know, I daven for your son. I was so touched by that. In other words, he became his Rebbe for a while, and he'd be a Davids for him. It's fabulous. It's very, okay, now, the Rav at this speech then, let's go. Hello? Up is the right thing. Oh, here we go. The Rav then went on to describe how he felt when he gave shir as an old man. And the Rav said as follows, the fact that Yaakov Avinu was able to bridge the generation gap and teach his grandkids Torah and become their primary Rebbe, the Rav says, I experience this every day when I come into the classroom. He was 71 years old, his Talmidim were 18 and 19 and 20, and the Rav spoke about this idea of the Masorah. And then the Rav said that once you get past the physical generation gap, once you get past the first generation, see, the Torah is not just about your Rebbe, your Rebbe's Rebbe. It goes back forever. When the Rav's giving shir, so who's he giving shir about? He's quoting his father. Who's quoting his father? So then they're like, they're in the room with you. So when you're learning Torah, you're like connecting. Like today we argue Rashi and Tosfos, and the way when you learn a little more in depth, even when you learn Bekiyas, what's his question, what's his answer, is as if they're in front of you. And the Rav described what it felt like giving shir as an old man, and how he experienced the Masorah giving the shir. And this is a very beautiful, powerful speech. So it's 10 minutes now. The Rav spoke in Yiddish that was his original language. He then learned perfect English, and the Rav spoke a very precise, perfect English. He spoke with a very heavy European accent, so it's hard to follow. So I've transcribed two sides of the page. I've transcribed the speech. Hello, whoa, whoa. Careful, see, you got an Arizona iced tea. There's no excuse now. There's no excuse. Then I know what Arizona iced tea is. We discussed what's Arizona iced tea. What's Arizona iced tea? Who listens carefully? Didn't we discuss that caffeine? Correct. Did we discuss that?
No.
Shalom Bais, you buy your wife a drink. My wife likes those. I didn't tell you. I did. Oh. I should have remembered that one. Mashiach. Okay. I meant to what? Right. I meant to. Okay. Okay. So you know most of it. Yoni, you should have known that. Arizona, I see. Okay, right. It could be. Okay, I'll be. It could be. I didn't say Arizona iced tea. It could be. I just said a drink. It could be. I'm a cop. We'll check. I'll give people a chance. Oh, yeah, you're humble. Very good. Discuss that. Your best meter. Let's go. Dance off. Here, let's go right now. Hakimi and Avi, a dance off. Oh, this is ridiculous. Hello. That was good. Guys, hello. Guys.
No excuses. I need one of those sheets.
Oh, yeah, here. Whatever. No. Guys. This is a game changer. So the Rav describes what it felt like to Yavshir. We're going to listen. So listen, follow along, and even though it's a heavy European accent, it's word for word. It's a word for word. Hello. It's a word for word transcription. We're going to listen now together. Okay, you got it. You ready? Where are you going to put this? No. You can put it on the. Where's a good place to put the speaker that everyone can listen? Yeah, this is good. This is fine. It's gonna fall. No, don't. The four is good. Okay, listen, guys, listen. Okay, this is the Rav talking, describing himself. This is 6,988 downloads. Here we go. Shh. Ready? This is the Rav Salvechik speaking. Seven guys, follow along. Shh. Wait. Sorry. Okay. No. Guys.
Many generations into one community that is practicing as peace is secured. Over years, during the whole centuries, has had no significance. Over generations, I mean, can, so to say, commune each other. I do experience every time I enter the classroom every year. I've been a great teacher for the last how many years? The class in the bar, and oh, you're making a lot. Whenever I enter the classroom, with his crowded, his voice, who put me as far as age is concerned, my grandchildren. I enter the classroom as an old man, an old man. With a wrinkled face and eyes reflecting fatigue and the sadness of old age. Yes, if you want to know that spirit, that sadness, it's not a strange sadness. It's the melancholy of things that men have to remember in things. Things will disappear, don't exist. Then I enter a classroom, I sit down, and opposite me, the hands of boys, young, beaming eyes, beaming faces, clear eyes, radiating the joy of being young. Well, always when I enter in a very pessimistic mood, I always enter the class in despair. And I ask myself, and every time I enter the classroom, can there be a dialogue between the old teacher and young students? Between the Rebbe in his Indian summer and those enjoying the spring of their lives? I stand here. I don't know what
I
the Machiavelli figures. It belongs to the same Masada community, the generations meet. We are friends, no matter how wrinkled and parchment dry one hand is, and how soft and round the other hand is. Hey, unite. And in a community where the great dialogue continues, without us looking at the baby, as the deal is evil. I don't know whether I will be like us, but I wish that I would. But someone will sit and teach the baby. And the baby is also the member of the community, of the greatness of our community. And I feel as if it's possible to establish communication with this community.
As a matter of fact, this is what it means to be Jewish. This is Mol, and this I think should be your goal. Your goal should be in life that you appreciate this, and you'd want your family to appreciate this. The Yahadus is about the Mesora. We're learning the Gemara, and then there's Rashi and Tosfos. They're here with us. Everyone's alive. The Gemara is not old news. You learn Chumash. It teaches you how to live your life nowadays. The Mesora is alive, it's kicking, and our job is to be involved with it and appreciate it as much as possible. So the Rav gave this speech, yeah? So the Rav's Talmidim said, this is when Rav Shechter Shlita spoke about the Rav giving shir, he said, when the Rav gave shir, you felt as if the Tanaim and Ryan were in the room with you, listening to shir with you. That's what he said it felt like, just like what it says here. The Rav, for most of his career, gave shir on in YU on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. He came into New York on Tuesday. He gave a shir in YU, two couple shirs Tuesday, couple Wednesday, and he gave a shir at night Tuesday night in a shul. So the joke in YU was, on Monday and Thursday we have Kriyas HaTorah, on Tuesday and Wednesday we have Kabbalas HaTorah. That's how they felt coming into the Rav shir. Now this is at a Pidyon HaBen. Here we go. At a Pidyon HaBen, there's a baby. The baby's father, that's generation one. The baby's father was in the Rav shir in the 1970s. The baby's grandfather was there at this Pidyon HaBen. He was in the Rav shir in the 1950s. And then the Rav, in a different part of the speech, mentioned he had a letter from the baby's great great grandfather. This baby's great-great-grandfather wrote a letter to the Rav in the 1950s saying, keep an eye on my grandson when he enters your shir and keep me updated on his progress. So the Rav had a five-generation connection to this baby. There's the baby, the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the great-great-grandfather. And he was in this nostalgic mood and he gave this speech. You got it? This is the phrase, the March of Centuries. What does the phrase March? What a nice phrase. That's the title. No, that's it. That took it from this. Better, right? The March of Centuries is that we're talking centuries. Our goal is centuries. We've been around a couple of thousand years. What are we doing? What are we doing to do our best, aside from davening a lot, to do our best that the Mashiach's going to come. Yaakov survived the Malach. But we and our kids and our grandkids and our great-great-grandkids 100 years from now, they're going to be in the Masorah. What are we doing? That's what life is about. Making choices to do your best to stay in this march of centuries. And the way to succeed, the more we're focused on the past, the more we stick with the Gemara and stick with Chazal and stick with the Shulchan Aruch and stick with our Rebbeim and stick with our, then we'll be succeeding in the future too. Everyone wants to change everything. Everything has to be different. No. Old is good. Rav Wilk Shlita always says, old is good. If something's old, it's good. That's the way they used to do things. If we live our lives sort basically the way our great grandparents did, we're going to be okay. So I'll close what? As you enter into the modern world. That's what the struggle is about right now. with all of the movements that want to take the Western way of thinking and make it part of our life. And the Rav says, no, you can use things in the right way, but your core values have to be totally based on tradition. So here's the story. This story is in 36. You know Rav Shlomo Carbach's book, 36? Yeah? So I heard the story on the tape once. Here's a story that he tells. I like the story a lot. And then we'll stop. Here's the story. So the Stalin Kalina Rebbe one night said, we're going to go daven in another town. We're going to daven in another town. So he goes with the Chassidim on a wagon, or it's a couple of wagons, and they're going to one town, the next town, the next town, the next town, and the next town. He says, here we're going to daven. They stop, they're going to daven Maariv together, but they need a place to daven. So they come to an inn, and they knock on the door, and the innkeeper comes out. Very, very old man comes out. Very old man. And he says, they say, can we use, he goes, yeah, you can use my inn to daven. So they start davening there. They yell when they daven, right? Yeah. So they yell. They're yelling. They're yelling. And they're davening and yelling, and everyone wakes up in this town, and they're all excited, and it's a massive Kiddush Shem. The Goyim are so excited. They come down, they start praying also to their God, and it's an amazing Kiddush Hashem. Then the Rebbe's about to leave, and they give fruits to the Rebbe, and the talents, and everyone's all excited. Then the Rebbe's about to leave, and the Rebbe turns to the innkeeper, and he says, Nu, what do you have to tell me? So the innkeeper says, today is my 107th birthday. On my 7th birthday, the Baal Shem Tov came here with his Talmidim. And I was a little boy, and as he was leaving, the Baal Shem Tov said, he gave me a bracha, and he said, I'm giving you a blessing to have a very long life, and when my Talmidim come here, tell them that I was here before them. So that's the story. So the more that we live the same way as our great-grandparents, the same way means connections with Hashem, connections with the Torah, connections with the details. Let's say, for example, we happen to have it's all about my life revolves around the Torah, my life revolves around Hashem, revolves around HaKadosh Baruch, about keeping Torah and mitzvos, and those are the values that you inculcate into your family. This is the challenge, and that's the goal. The goal is all of us happy within the march of centuries. That is the goal, and then Bezus Hashem will make it when Mashiach comes. Amen. Yes.